going to take up a train.
Yehuda himself.
Yehuda and the brothers, they're going to take up a train. If two brothers can wipe out the whole Shechem, then I think of something else to wipe out the whole of Mitzrayim.
Yeah, but they were men and they were weakened.
But that was the Shabbatim had tremendous strength. And this is what we're talking about here. It's all our war. And all of a sudden, in a very, very short time, everything is switched round. And the brother that they imagined was sold as a slave to Mitzrayim. And they thought we'll never see him again, has suddenly become the Moshe, has suddenly become the king of Mitzrayim. A king of a superpower, not something that is just a little province of, or Mitzrayim today is a half-starved country with millions and millions of people. You're talking about a superpower that run the world financially and supported the world in no times, but a whole part of Africa certainly. As a superpower. And Yosef was there, and he was a Melech of Mitzrayim, he was the longest reigning Jewish king in history. All suddenly everything changed within a few words. And those few words of Isai is, if you look in a Chumash, the prophet says, in Perik Memhei, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Yosef al Achi, Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef, Ha'oid Avichai, I am Yosef, and my father still alive. V'lo yochlu echov la'anis oisei, and the brothers cannot answer him, ki nivalu miponov, because they were shocked from in front of him.
Was he asking his father still alive? He asked him 400 times.
Excellent question. One of the many. What's going on here? Which means Yosef says, Ani Yosef, ha'oid Avichai, v'lo yochlu echov, the brothers couldn't answer him because they were embarrassed. Says the Medrash, the famous, one of the most famous Medrashim, probably in the Chumash. The Medrash says as follows: Abba Koyin Badla says, Oy lonu mi oimadin, woe to us in the day of judgment, woe to us in the day of rebuke. Yosef katnan shel shvatim hoyu. Yosef was the youngest of all the shvatim. And his brothers could not stand up against him when he rebuked them. Shlemah the Pasuk says, "V'loyochol echov lanis oisoi." L'keshiyove Hakadosh Baruch Hu, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu will come, v'yechiach l'chol echod ve'echod l'fi mashuhu, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be meichiach each and every person according to what he is. Shlemah the Pasuk says, "Oichichachol ve'erachol le'imecho." I'll be my chiyach you and I'll evaluate you according to your eyes. Al achas kama v'kama, how much so? This is a Medrash Rabbah in this week's Sedra. So the Beis HaLevi asks a few kashas on this piece of this whole subject here of this Medrash and the Pasuk.
You speak at the Medrash outside, right?
The Medrash says that woe upon us to each and every person on the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Tichacha. Yosef was the youngest of the brothers. And when Yosef was just the youngest of the brothers, who was he already? And he gave his brothers Tichacha, and he gave them rebuke. The Pasuk said they were totally dumbstruck. They couldn't answer anything. What's going to be to us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows each and every one of us where we are? And that is something you have to be extremely frightened about. So basically he asks a few different questions, but before I get to that, it's just a fascinating point to see how different people learn different parts of the Chumash. We have here a pasuk, and we have a pasuk that is dramatic, a pasuk that is emotional. You can imagine if you picture it in the correct way. You had a brother there in front of Yosef, and Yosef is accusing them of the most terrible things. And suddenly everything changes around, and the scenario there was something that could be the basis of every thriller. And all of a sudden things change. And what do we learn out of this Musa? We learn out of this Musa, and we see that a person can take out from a parsha of Chumash, either you can take out something that's very simple, very emotional, interesting story, or you can absolutely learn a life-changing lesson from a Chumash. If a person has the right glasses on, he can completely learn lessons that he can never possibly learn in day-to-day life. Chumash is there to change us. Chumash is there to teach us lessons of life that are so life-changing that without that, we wouldn't have any of this whatsoever. I'll give an example. Imagine you have two people going to a car show. And one person who goes to the car show is a person who is looking to buy a car. Just know, is it a Mazda? Is it a Toyota? Is it a Nissan? He goes around and sees all the cars, he sees different models. And what attracts him, very often what attracts him is going to be the advertisement behind it, and the people, different people showing him the cars, and the kind of free gifts you get with it. And this kind of thing is going to attract him. And some other things are going to attract him too, which shouldn't be attracting him, but that's what's going to attract him to buying the cars. Another person may be going to the car show, and he may be a designer. He designs for Mercedes. And he's going to look around the cars and see all different new designs of 2004. And he's going to see that the lights on the Mazda are now curved, which means a whole new look. And he sees that the air conditioning system on the Nissan has been completely changed around, where it's, instead of drawing from the back, it draws from the front, whatever it is. And he's going to look at the car very differently to a person looking to buy a car. That is how a person is supposed to learn Chumash. A person is supposed to learn Torah, to see how the Torah is supposed to change me. Not just to see, you know, I'm looking around to see a nice story here and a nice lot there. How is Chumash going to change my life? How am I going to be a better person from the fact that I've learned this pasuk? The fact that I've learned this pasuk in the Torah with the Eon, with the Rishonim, with the Achronim, how is it going to change my life? And a person doesn't do that, a person can skip over the most important lessons in life by just merely going through it on a very superficial and surface level. We have sometimes the most earth-shattering events. Say September 11th. When the Twin Towers fell, some people learned, look at this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Aseres Mei Tshuva, he can take the two most powerful, largest towers in the world. You can argue that it's the tallest towers in the world, which is a whole koyach and the gaiva of the Western civilization, and he can smash them to nothing by a few Yishmaelim who are against Esav. He's learned all different lessons in it. And the same person can learn, if he doesn't know how to learn the lessons correctly, he can learn, look, you know, one's got to build these buildings stronger. You know, if you just make them out of glass, maybe you should make them out of concrete, and maybe they should be built in a different way. Or perhaps we've got to curb down the immigration here in America. And each person learns out different lessons if they have different glasses on. We have to make sure we're wearing the right glasses. We've got to make sure that we have the glasses of learning how to be better people, and how to become Torah Jews, and how to learn the lesson Coach Brock is giving us in the Torah. This Abba Kohen Badler learned a lesson that's supposed to change every single thing we do in our life. And every way we think is supposed to be tuned in from this lesson of Yosef and his brothers. How does it do that? So the Beis Halevi says that this limud in this particular parasha needs a very, very lot of answering to. First of all, what does Yosef mean when he says Ho'ed Avi Chai? The last few psukim have been talking about, and if you go back to your master, if you go back to to your servant Yaakov Avinu, he's never going to survive the fact that Binyamin's not with him, etc., etc., etc. It's stated many, many, many times. What does Yosef say now? Ho'ed Avi Chai, my father's still alive. He just told him 20 seconds ago. Do you think something? You got a text message last 20 seconds that your father just died? What does he mean here? Ho'ed Avi Chai, number one. Number two, what does it mean when a Medrash says Yoyim Hadin and Yoyim HaTeichacha? What's the difference between Yoyim Hadin and Yoyim HaTeichacha? What does Teichacha mean? Teichacha means rebuke. What does Yoyim Hadin mean? Day of judgment. Which one comes first? Which one comes first? First Teichacha, and then you give a person din. If he's taken to court and he did something wrong, so the judge first tells him what a terrible thing he did, and then he puts a sentence to it. What's Yom HaDin and then Yom HaTeichacha? Why first Din and then Teichacha? And what are those two separate things? And what does it mean when a Medrash says Lefi Mashuhu? Lefi Mashuhu, Ve'echel Ech Lefi Mashuhu, according to Mashu, what he is. What does that mean? So he says something, the Beis HaLevi, that should really change the way a person completely sees himself and how he sees the way he acts in Olam Hazeh. And he says as follows. He says that it's very difficult for a person to be judged by anyone but himself. A person has a whole set of values that he's picked up along the way, through his fault or not through his fault, but he's picked up a whole set of values. And therefore for Kadosh Baruch Hu to come along and judge a person and say, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you deserve a punishment for this or for that. A person can come along and say, I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't my fault, I didn't do it, I didn't mean to do it. How can you blame me? What the Kadosh Baruch Hu does is, he says, fine, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do like I did with Nosan Hanavi and David HaMelech. Nosan Hanavi caused David HaMelech and he wanted to rebuke him about the terrible chet, according to the way Tanakh explains, but the Gemara says David HaMelech didn't do any chet bechlal, but on David's level, the chet he did with Bathsheba. And Nosan Hanavi comes along to David HaMelech and he says to him, imagine you have a rich man and a poor man in the same city, and the rich man has a whole flock of sheep and the poor man only has one sheep, and the rich man takes the poor man's sheep and shechts it, slaughters it to eat for his big party that he throws. What should be done to the person who did such a terrible thing? So David HaMelech said this person should be killed. Says Nosan Hanavi, David HaMelech, look how many wives you have, look how few wives Uriachiti has, and you took his wife. Says the Beis HaLevi, that is what's going to happen to Olam Haba, to every single one of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to judge us according to a set of values put down by some kind of law book. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make us be our own judges. Going to put us in an objective position and say, fine, I want to ask you your advice in this case. What do you think if a person on Erev Shabbos gets knocked at his door and put tzedakah an hour before Shabbos, and there's water over the floor from sponger, and the stuff is burning on the black, and he hasn't had his shower yet. What should be the law? The person comes in, knocks on the door, and never he says that there's somebody in town who can't afford Shabbos, and he's still trying to collect some food for him. Do you have any food for him for Shabbos? And he says, what are you talking about? I've got guests, or you know. What should be done to such a person? So now you're in a very objective position, and you see both sides, and you say, what are you talking about? So the guy doesn't eat so much. Let him eat some more matzahs, and let him take some bread out of the freezer. You should give away a chicken. So Coach Rock says, fine. Okay, let's zoom over to a different situation. 38 years ago. On Erev Shabbos, Parshas Vayigash, 38 years ago, someone knocked at your door, and he asked you for food for a neighbor who just had a baby. And what did you say? I'm very sorry, I've got guests, I can't give you anything. And that's what's going to be with every single position in a person's life. We're going to be our own judge. That's Pishat Yoyim Hadin and Yoyim HaTzeikocha. Yoyim Hadin means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to judge each person lefi ma shehu, according to what he says the judgment should be. That is the way Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to judge us. That's lefi ma shehu. He's going to get a person to judge his own situation. And therefore the way a person judges a situation in an objective way, i.e. Yoyim Hadin, which means the person is going to make a judgment, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to make a judgment in Shemayim, the person to judge, then Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to say, aha, fine, now it's your turn for Tekocha, your turn for rebuke. Why didn't you in that same position do the way you said should be done, and why did you do wrong? And then you're going to be judged the way you judged. That's Yoyim Hadin, Yoyim HaTekocha. What Yosef is saying over here is as follows. Yosef is saying to his brothers, I want to ask you something. I want to put you in a position where you are judging now a case where until now you have not been objective. Until now, said Yosef, I was a brother who was a malshin. I was a brother who perhaps was taking away your splendor and glory and was threatening you in a spiritual way. Fine. But tell me, I'm putting you now in a position where you are more objective about your brother. Did you care about your father's feelings when you sold me? Now you sold me, and now I've got Binyamin, and Binyamin's in my hands. Suddenly now you're being very objective of how your father would feel and what a terrible thing it would do for your father. Do you realize what you've done to me all these years? Ani Yosef, ha'oida b'chai. I am Yosef. Did your father live then? Did you think about my father's life when he sold me? Which means, you just said what a terrible thing it is to have Binyamin in the hands of Yosef, because that's going to make a terrible stress on Yaakov Avinu. Ani Yosef, ha'oida b'chai. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? Did you think about me when he sold? When you think about your father when he sold me? And on that, it is impossible to answer. Because the brothers themselves were their own judge. And they said what a terrible thing it is to split away and to take away a son away from the father. That is a pshat in the pasuk. It was impossible for the brothers to answer. Because how can you get out of it? They themselves said that's a terrible thing. And this Rabbi Yisrael is going to be Yom HaDin, Yom HaTechacha. Every single one of us is going to be put in the position of being our own judge and our own executioner, as it were. And this is something we have to work on extremely carefully to make sure that when we reach that position, we're going to be prepared for it. And I explain to you how.
Isn't it wrong to say that, like, Yosef then says to us, don't worry, we had to do it? It stops consoling them.
This is the Shem Shemayim, which means that this, that obviously Yosef had to go down to Mitzrayim. And there's no doubt that somehow or other they had to get there. And there's no doubt that perhaps Yaakov deserved what he got, but Yosef deserved it. I have no idea. This is all in the Day Shemayim. And Yosef had to go there. But, as we always say, they did a terrible thing. They were involved in doing what they did.
Why did Yosef need to say, don't worry, it had to happen. You didn't do wrong, it had to happen. It seems like he's saying, well done.
Yosef never was mindful of them, though. Yosef never ever forgave them. Because he comforted them a little bit and said, you know, gave them a tichocha, and then afterwards he comforted them and said, okay, no, don't take it too terribly, because that can crush you as well. You give a person tichocha and tichocha is still crushing, and the person can never survive after that, never look himself again. That itself is not healthy. But Yosef was never meichel them. Yosef never forgave them, ever. And that is why it's brought down in Chazal many, many times, that the reason why the Klal Yisrael suffered for Asara HaRogei Malchus, the ten Tanoim who were killed, and the fact that we have blood libels is also always because Yosef did not say, I am Moichel you. He was not Moichel them.
So what was all the orchestration of all this business for?
Because that was for them to do tshuva as best they can.
For them.
Yosef wanted them to understand and see what terrible thing they did. And they were now in a position where they've seen how terrible it can be to take away a child away from the father. And what an awful thing it is, however bad the son is, what a terrible thing it is, and now they can see it. They can see in their own eyes.
So he held a grudge his whole life.
He didn't say he held a grudge. He said he wasn't moichel then. Whether he was moichel, whether it's correct not to moichel them or not, is a very, very big discussion. But according to some opinions, he had no right to be moichel then. Because it wasn't. It's been Adon Chaveri, perhaps he was, but there's Adon Mokim there as well. And that Adon Mokim, that Chil Hashem, he couldn't be moichel. There's various different matters here. It's very extremely complicated, exactly what he did, what he didn't. But according to all opinions, Yosef was not fully moichel then. He comforted them afterwards in order for them not to take it too harshly, that they should be able to get over it. But the whole process over here was only in order that they should be able to tshuva and see with their own eyes what terrible thing it is. So how do we get around it? How do we become a lawyer for ourselves? How do we become a good defense lawyer for ourselves if we're going to be our own judge? How do we do this in this world? How is it possible for us to become people who are going to judge ourselves in this world, in the next world? How do we prepare for that now? How do we prepare to make ourselves the correct defense lawyer for our eventual din? So there are two parts. Number one is, make sure that you're objective. Make sure that when you do things, you try and push your ego and your feelings and emotions as far away as possible. Because if a person does one thing one day and something else the other day, which is totally contradicting what he did the day before, that can be very embarrassing. A person, for example, let's say, it's a weak example, but it's an example anyway. A person walks home and he's got 10 shekel in his pocket. And an oni asks him for a donation. He's walking home, he thinks to himself, look, I've got 10 shekel in my pocket, but oni asks for a donation, I shouldn't give it to him because maybe suddenly it'll start raining, I'll need a taxi. I need a cab, and then if I need a cab, then I may have to get, you know, use the money to take a cab, and who knows what money I have at home. I need to get a 10 shekel in my pocket. I'm sorry, I can't give it on you anything to from this 10 shekel. The next day, it's the same situation, and it's the same big black clouds up in the sky, and he's got 10 shekel, and he sees in the shop, he sees a newspaper that just tells us about Saddam Hussein's capture. So he goes into the shop and he buys the newspaper. So that same person will come up to the Olam Haba, and Akash Baruch Hu will say to him, one second, what happened if the person has 10 shekel in the pocket? What do you think? It's a 10 shekel, we should give it to an Oni. But what happens if he's afraid that he has to go home? You're right, then maybe he shouldn't be using that 10 shekel. Fine, next day. I want to show you what happened the next day. On that next day, you use that 10 shekel, you weren't so worried about taking a taxi home, you bought a newspaper for that. Which means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to put us into a very difficult situation if we don't keep ourselves on a consistent derech. If we one day do one thing, one day do something else, and we use our ego and our emotions to push us and to sway us according to what we feel like, it's going to be very embarrassing for us. That's number one. Number two, the way of judging yourself can be changed by the way you judge others. Which means, if you judge people favorably, you'll eventually reach such a frame of mind that you will eventually judge yourself favorably. Therefore, if you see somebody doing something, you don't kaf schus on people, which is a mitzvah deraisa, unless a person's a rosha, you don't kaf schus. Then, a person, when he comes to Shemayim, he's been used to all his life judging people favorably. If he sees an objective situation of two people doing one thing to the other, he'll judge him favorably. And therefore, that is how his judgments would eventually be much easier upon himself if he trains himself to be Don Rakaskus. And this is a derech that the Bala Musa say is extremely powerful. And it's a way that that will change your nitzchias, will change your eternity, the way you judge people in this world, and the kind of way that you are consistent and you keep a life on a consistent derech. That's going to make your life in this world different, and next world different from the next chasmus rochem forever and ever. And that you learn from this parasha here. Because if we don't chas v'shalom, it can be very, very embarrassing. That's one derech to learn what you learn from this tichacha.
I'm a little confused. How does that fit with the outlook that a person's supposed to have of themselves, like constantly seeking out their motives? Why did I do that myself? And if you look, you find your ideas, and it always looks like you're refining, it because it's more of a pure mitzvah. And you're always looking for the pagan.
No. Don't cast chus is never on yourself. Don't cast chus is always on others, not on yourself. No, even haba, you should be don't cast chus.
Eventually, that was a pure person for themselves, though, right?
No, eventually, it's not even haba. And Olam Haba, that will work for yourself, and Olam Haba to be treated more fairly by yourself. No, in this world you're supposed to be looking into yourself and introspecting and seeing, why did I do this, why did I do that, and trying to purify yourself to a greater and greater level. And it's extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult, you know. A person to be extremely downcast on other people and harsh on himself, it's really departmentalizing. It's completely splitting up your personality on one hand, being harsh, on the other hand being extremely supportive and uncritical and it's extremely difficult. You know, that's what a good man says, because he's very, very hard on himself and very soft on others. I mean, that's a difficult dichotomy, but that's what you have to do.
How does one practice Dhammakathakas correctly? So it's not that one just simply says, oh, one can know, or judge the person in a way that isn't as bad as they could have judged them, but it's still not terribly flattering.
It's a whole derech, it's a whole limud. Mm-hmm. It's a whole limud, it's a very good book that came out for Rebbe from Summit. The Other Side of the Story, I think it's called. It's a good book. It gives you a derech of working on it. On a Shabbos sometimes, I do it with my children. I give them a situation and ask them how to be done kaf skos the situation. This person is something, he drove his car on Shabbos. Yeah? What do you think he could be doing? Do you think he's doing something wrong? Or do you think he could be judged favorably? How? Obviously, very simple, one is taking his wife to a hospital to have a baby. Right? But what happens if he has no children? Whatever, you can make it more and more complicated that a person can eventually train himself to judge people favorably.
Well, isn't that one should always assume the person is involved in a mitzvah? Is that a basic principle?
Not necessarily. A person could be doing sometimes an avera because he's stressed. He's probably doing a... He's stressed. He stressed, you know, there's a case where, I mean, I don't want to go into stories, but there's plenty of times a person who did something wrong, but if he saw the situation that he was in, it doesn't look half as terrible as it could have been. Yeah. Let's move on. Rapan says an unbelievable vort here. Rapan says, Rapan, he says, he says like this. He says that what Abba Kohen Badl is saying over here is something slightly different. And he's saying that Yosef Kosen Shabbat Ochiv Hoyo, in the eyes of his brothers, Yosef was a silly little boy, a dreamer, somebody who's living in fantasy world and dreamland. Who was he? And they mocked him and they made fun of him and eventually wanted to kill him and they sold him because he's a silly little dreamer who's causing a lot of trouble. And only after all these years did they see that Yosef wasn't a dreamer. Yosef was a Navi. Yosef was a Navi. Yosef was a Navi who saw the future of Klal Yisrael. Yosef was a Melech. And Yosef showed them how careful one has to be by judging people. Yosef Kotem Shiva Ochipoya means he seemed to be like a little boy. Who was he already? But he was a prophet. He was the most choshuva, shevet as far as being on the level of having two shvatim. Two shvatim came from him. Yaakovina had shvatim and Yosef had shvatim. Yosef had tzaddik, melech, novi. Yosef Kodem Shabbat Ochid means that Yosef is teaching them that we have no right to judge anybody. We have no right to think that a person who looks good is necessarily the big tzaddik and a person who looks bad necessarily the rasha. Rav Eli Lapkin says, the egem, noun of, the eyes, fool us. We get coming into shul, a man, a tall man with a big rabbanisha hat and a frak, and he's got a big white beard and shining blue eyes, and he comes with a big gemara under his arm, and where do we put him? We put him in Mizrach. And then the back of shul, this fella comes in with a peacap and a sort of a anorak with paint on it, and we ignore him. So Rav Eli Lapkin used to say, "Ehotim fahelt? Did you test them? Did you test them to see where they're holding Yerushalayim? Who knows where they're holding?" He says, "How embarrassing it's going to be, Yom Adin Yom Atichacha, when people we abuse and use are going to be people in Olam Haba that's going to be far greater than we are. People who we don't even look at. People sometimes we're nasty to." Are going to be way in front of us in Olam Haba. When it's going to be that Olam Hafokra Isi, the Gemara says. A person went to Olam Haba and he said, "I saw an upside down world. I saw a world where Elohim in the matter of Tachtoin in the Malo. People who are high were low and are low are high. Who can judge anybody? Who can judge?" And that's what's going to be terribly embarrassing. We judge our kids sometimes too harshly, we judge our wife too harshly, we judge our roommates too harshly, we judge our parents too harshly. People we look down at sometimes are going to be way above us perhaps, Chas v'Shalom and Olam Haba. And that we've got to be extremely careful who we judge and how we judge them. Because that's what's going to be terribly embarrassing. If we don't judge people correctly, and it's impossible to judge people correctly, unless we train ourselves with Don Kafchus, then it's going to be extremely embarrassing. And that's what Yeshua said later on. Yosef said, but Yosef said to his brothers,
"Where is in the source of the world is being seen upside down,
It says later on, in Potichof Dalod, Vayishalach es Ochiv Vayelechu, he sent his brothers off and they went. Vayoyim aleim, and he said to them, Al tirguzu baderech. Al tirguzu baderech, this is from tirguzu baderech, Rashi says, Al tisasku b'dvah halacha. Do not get involved in dvah halacha, should tirguzu aleichem baderech. Do not become braggers, do not get too engrossed in the way. That's one pshat the Gemara says. Rashi means another pshat. Dova'acha al tafsiu psia gaso. Do not make big steps. What's the Gemara saying here? Rashi's quoting a Gemara. What's the Gemara saying here? Gemara in Tainus. What's the Gemara saying here? So I saw a fantastic vault from the Bali Musa, and they say like this. They say that Yosef over here is giving them Musa. Yosef over here is giving them a last word of rebuke before they go down to Yaakov Avinu. And Yosef is telling them as follows. Yosef is not telling them, don't get involved in Dvar HaLocha, don't get lost. It's like your mother says, you know, close your coat, it's cold outside. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They shift a car. They know that you shouldn't get too involved along the way. What's Yosef telling them? Yosef is telling them, Turkazu Baderech means, don't do Dvar HaLocha along the way. What did you do to me, says Yosef? You paskened extremely harsh Divrei Torah, a din Torah of Moves on Mamish Mises facing. You paskened along for me along the way. What did you do? I came along to you, to Shechem, and on the roadside there you put together a basin, a bona fide basin, you put it together, and you paskened on Chayv Misa. What happened to you, says Yosef? How can you do such a thing? How can you make a basin like that? Can you go to a basin just along the way and decide because Yosef is speaking about it, you can go along and kill him in a basin just to make along the side of the road? Why didn't you go to Shem Ve'eva? Ask them. Why didn't you ask God Lador, Yaakov Avinu, what he thinks? Al tirguzu baderech. Al tisasku b'dvar halacha baderech. Learn that when it comes to dvar halacha, don't get involved along the way. Because a person along the way can make big mistakes. A person along the way in life, if he's along the way, he's still traveling, and he's moving from place to place, from level to level, from situation to situation. Al tirguzu dvar halacha. Do not make judgment yourself. Do not make your own decisions. Go along and ask somebody who's being objective. Go along to an established basin. Go along to an established person who's got koyach ha-Torah, who has das Torah. Go along to a person who's older than you, who's more mature than you, who sees the situation in more objective light. Al tirguzu baderech, says Yosef, do not paskin the vahalocha when you're on the way. Take it easy. Think what you're doing. That's one thing Yosef is saying. Says Rashi, another pshat. Al tafsiu psia gaso.
I think backwards is goizer. Regis.
Tirguzu,
goizer.
Very nice. Very nice. Same word goizer. Now, Bamsha, al tafsiu psia gaso means do not take long, large steps. What does that mean? Don't jump to conclusions. Don't jump to conclusions. Take small step by small step in life. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't take big steps back. You see what you did when you made big steps. You almost killed me, and you sold me to Mitzrayim for all these years. I could have been lost in the tomb of Mitzrayim. Al tafsiu psia gaso. Don't make big steps in life. Take it easy. Think. Don't jump to conclusions. That's what Yosef is telling them. It's Musa. And I want to add, the Gemara says that if a person makes big steps, he loses his eyesight. What shall lose his eyesight? He loses sight of the situation. He doesn't see the situation where it should be. A person cannot jump to conclusions, because otherwise you lose your eyesight. And on that the Maharil brings down in Hilchos Shabbos. The Maharil says, what's the tikkun? What's the tikkun of getting back your eyesight? When you're making kiddush, you look at the candles. You look at the kiddush, the Maharil. What's pshat in that? What's pshat in that? Because when you're standing on Friday night and you're relaxed and you're not under pressure, and you're standing up with a cup of wine in your hand, and you're not in a situation where you're pressed anymore, now you relax. Now you see that the hassle and bustle of the week has made you see things in the wrong light. The way of fixing that is menuchas ha-nefesh. when you're standing up making Kiddush, when you're thinking about Shabbos, what Shabbos is, what Menucha is, then you get back your eyesight, then you realize that the most terrible thing in the world is to jump to conclusions. That is when you get back your correct eyesight. That's when you get back the way of seeing things in the correct light. Doshav Pshat, that's Pshat over here. That's when you get back your sight. I don't know, there could be Kabbalistic ideas behind it as well. But I think that's one derech to understand it, as far as I can see. Without jumping to conclusions. Yeah.
Well, isn't that showing your sense of eternity? One has to look at things, you know, with a Habal perspective.
There's also another, of course, there's many, I think that's already, I think there's many ways Islam is seeing it, but I think that is one derech of explaining the idea behind it. I'm sure that, as you're saying, there's many derech.
Why would Yosef, if he gives all this rebuke, and then like his mere being alive and everything coming together like that, well, without saying anything, you know, it's enough as a message for them to say, like, well, we really made a mistake.
I thought about that a lot in my this week. Just don't say anything. Just say, Ani Yosef, that's it.
Yeah.
I think the idea behind it is the kind of shock they can have, they could have had at that particular time, could have shocked in such an extent that they would have gained nothing by the experience. You can be so confused, you can get so wrapped up in your emotion and your guilt feeling that nothing positive could grow out from it. Yosef is saying, okay, listen, I'm being objective here. I can tell you what you did wrong. And I'm going to tell you you did A, B, C wrong. Learn from that. Change. Change the way you're seeing things. Change the way you're judging things. And I've also learned from this so far that you can't judge people, because if you judge people wrongly, it's going to be very embarrassing. And the Olam Haba Chas V'Shalom can be very, very, very painful for a person. Number two, you can't judge things. We can't judge things hastily. You can't judge things hastily. And number three, you can't even judge situations. Forget about people. You can't even judge situations. I'll give you an example. In this week's Sedra, we have here Yaakov Avinu going down to Mitzrayim. And how did Yaakov Avinu go down to Mitzrayim? The Pasuk says Yaakov Avinu went down in Perik Mem Vav, Pasuk Hey, it says, "Vayakol Yaakov be'eshav, Yaakov stood up from be'eshav, Yisrael ben Yisrael, es Yaakov avihem, took Yaakov their father, es Tapom their children, es Mishreim their wives, but Agolos asher sholach Paray lofis oisoi, with Agolos that Paray sent for them." But Yichon they took es miknehem es rechusham asher rochshaber es kanan, they took all the possessions. Vayavoyu mitzrayim Yaakov v'chol zari itoy, all his children with him. Bonov uvnei bonov, his children, his grandchildren itoy v'noisov uvnois bonov, and all his children, grandchildren v'chol zari hevi itim mitzrayim, all took with him. So Rabbi Yisrael, what's this parasha telling us? Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim in what? In royal carriages, royal sponsored carriages, Paro's carriages. And Yaakov Avinu went down with his children and his grandchildren. Ah, what nachas! And all his wealth and his big trucks behind him. And he went down to the splendor of Mitzrayim with glory and with covered. If you would be standing beside them, what would you think to yourself? Ah, I'm so lucky, I'm so jealous. Look at all this covered, look at all this glory, going down to Mitzrayim like that, with his children and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and all his possessions. I'm jealous. Look at Yaakov, he's so lucky. Imagine you see Yosef. Yosef just left his father. And Yosef left his father, and he went down to Mitzrayim in chains. Sold as a slave. By his own brothers. What would you think then? Nebuch. Ah, poor boy. You'd cry for him. Shtus! Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, and that going down to Mitzrayim made him into a king. He became a king through going down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, and that was the beginning of the Golus. That was the beginning of the Golus. Yaakov Avinu going down, taking children and grandchildren, was the beginning of the Golus of 210 years, where millions of Yidden were working for Paro through generations there. Thousands of children were killed. Yaakov Avinu was going royally to Golus, and Yosef was going in chains to Malchus. How can we judge situations? Who knows? When a person is going through a difficult time, whether this is his change to Malchus, and who knows if a person is going through a time when his Malchus that is on his way to Chas V'Shalom to Golus. Who knows anything? How can we judge any situation? All we can do is train ourselves to become better people. Train ourselves to the Torah mitzvahs. And leave the situation to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Obviously, daven for the best situation. But never judge things by the way you see things. Because they are warped. You can see things in the crazy light. It's an unbelievable vote. Sometimes you see terrible things happen to somebody. Terrible, terrible things. And you think Nebuch, they don't realize this is a position where it's starting off a geula for this person. One of my family, in the First World War, before the First World War, was somebody spoke out against him to the king, to the government, and he eventually had to flee the country. He was a very wealthy man to flee the country without his wife and family. And he fled to America. And the family saw that as a tragedy. As a tragedy. That he had to leave everything behind and flee to America without his wife and children. And many, many years later, just before the Second World War, he managed to establish visas for all his family to come over to America. And if he wouldn't have been there, him and his family all would have been killed. Nebuchadnezzar, he's got to go to Golis, run out of the country. Yes, because that's the beginning of his geula. Who knows anything? And just one more vote here. The Pasuk says, in Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Yidalev, the Pasuk says, I'm sorry, not this Pasuk, the Pasuk says, yeah, Mem Hei Pasuk Yidalev, V'yipol al Savarei Binyamin Ochiv, he fell on the neck of his brother Binyamin, V'yesh, then he cried. Binyamin bochal tzvarov, and Binyamin cried on his neck. Says Rashi, why did he cry on Binyamin's neck? Al shtei mikdoshois shosidim yesh becholkei she Binyamin, on the two bottom mikdosh shall eventually fall in the chelik of Binyamin, the seifan yechoriv, and will eventually be destroyed. Binyamin bochal tzvarov. Why did Binyamin cry? Al mishkan shiva, on the mishkan shiva shall also yesh becholkei she Yosef, that be in the chelik of Yosef, the seifan yechoriv, and eventually be destroyed. Now, as you know, in any good comedy, timing is very important. Here we have Yosef and Binyamin, two brothers, who've been split up for all these years, and now they finally meet each other, and they finally see each other, and they hug and they kiss, and suddenly Yosef starts crying about what's going to happen to the base of Mikdash, and Binyamin starts crying about Mishkan Shiloh. Okay. The emotional, I understand, but appreciate what you have till now. Baruch Hashem has found each other, they should be dancing for joy. No, he's crying about the bottom mikdash, he's crying about Shiloh. So the emotional battle, so wait, next time you see each other, you have a good cry. But why now, they just found each other? It's tremendous simcha, they're crying about the bottom mikdash. Why? It's not the time to do it now. So the Balaam must say something very beautiful. They say that Yosef and Binyamin were crying because now they saw what suffering happened because of Sinas Chinam. They finally came together, now they could actually let go. They can finally let go, they could finally think what all the suffering they've been through all these years because of Sinas Chinam. Because the brothers had Sinas Chinam in a certain way to Yosef, all that suffering happened. All that terrible suffering happened, and now they could actually reflect on it when it's all over. And they thought to themselves, ah, if Sinas Chinam is all over, fantastic, we're on the home run. And then Yosef thought, no, Sinas Chinam is going to destroy the Bat Mikdash. And they saw the Bat Mikdash is going to be destroyed, and the Mishkan Shiloh is going to be destroyed. And they both cried for that. But who did they cry for? Yosef cried for Binyamin's chelik. And Binyamin cried for Yosef's chelik. Showing us that what only thing to hold back from the Korbanos is for Yosef to cry for Binyamin and Binyamin to cry for Yosef. The only way we can make sure that Beis Midrash comes back is for us to have Avas Chinam. for us to cry for the other person and the other person to cry for us. That is what Yosef and Binyamin were doing. They're trying to somehow stop the sinas chinam, stop these things from happening, stop the korbanos happening by Yosef crying for Binyamin and Binyamin crying for Yosef. They saw the suffering and they wanted it to stop. That's why they each cried for the other. And that's what the Gemara says. A person who's in the Sameach Chosin and Kala, he rebuilds one of the Chobonis of Yerushalayim. What's the shout in that? What do I gain by this Chosin and Kala getting married? It's very nice. Oh, it's nothing personal. But it's very nice, I dance and I'm happy for him. But to mamish go out my way and to dance up and down, he's getting married, he's happy, fine. Why do I have to put myself out to make him happy? Which means he's happy anyway without me. What does he need from me? It means that I have ahavas chinam. I gain nothing by it, but his simcha becomes mine. I am so happy, it does nothing for me personally. But the fact that he is happy has made me happy. That is ahavas chinam. And that will build Chabonis Yerushalayim. That will build Yerushalayim again. That having Ahavas Chinam, appreciating and loving another person for no reason but he's part of Klal Yisrael, that will Ezra Shem build B'Sheach Tekenim Meher of your Meir.
What about this mitzvah?
That is a mitzvah.
It's
no. If a Chosin Kala will really depressed. No, if they're not happy and you make them happier, and that's
enough. Why do we do the Leviah? Obviously, the Mace is not getting any benefit, and I'm still doing still scoring
today. Special MS. Let's
go.
Could you say the same thing with him?
Yeah, you chose to be here. The shoes
are there. Two shades. Two sub-businesses.